Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Welcome to Close Up Radio Live. I'm your host, Jim Masters. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being with us. And also, Gail Bruenberg, Grateful Gail. That's her nickname. And she is grateful for so many things. She's a certified professional organizer in chronic disorganization, certified virtual organizing professional, organizing coach, the owner of Let's Get Organized LLC, a top-notch professional organizing consulting company, and she and her team can help you master the art of get the big O organized, seven steps to achieving calm, clarity, and control in your space, mind, and life. Whether it's your work life or home life, maybe that messy car, decluttering a space, or managing your time, Gail does it all. She is the consummate professional, helping anyone struggling with disorganization to prioritize tasks and establish good habits that are natural and sustainable. Gail works closely with individuals who are living with chronic disorganization, often the result of brain-based challenges such as ADHD, a traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, or another physical or cognitive condition. Gail teaches her clients to implement systems that work with their natural tendencies, core values, learning styles, and sensory preferences using a balanced and healthy self-care approach. Gail's unique book is really a must-read for anyone who is ready to change their life by getting organized. She takes readers through a highly effective seven-step process designed to create organizations tailored to your unique needs. Gail also says having solid organizing systems is absolutely essential to living one's best life. She's in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Let's welcome her to Close Up Radio Live. Gail, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here with you.
We welcome you, and this is such a great topic, and you and I were having such a great conversation before we even went live. Did you, when you look at the journey you took, the inspirational moments that pointed you in the direction of doing this work, what were some of those things that stood out for you that gave you the inspiration to even start this kind of business focusing on getting organized?
Well, there are a number of ways I could answer that. One of the ways is I was blessed by family members, my parents as well as my maternal grandparents, who exhibited for me what it means to be organized. My dad is an architect. My mom was just naturally organized. My grandmother, we called her the mothball kid or pack rat, but she knew where everything was and she curated her things so beautifully and cared for them so well that it was a very natural way for me to grow up, seeing that, well, this is the way life is supposed to be. And the other part is I started Let's Get Organized after several years in accounting when I realized that was just not the right career for me and there had to be a better way.
Ah. So it wasn't something that was really speaking to your heart and soul.
Well, there's a long story and a short story. The accounting, no, not at all. It just
not at
it
all,
basically
right,
sucked
exactly.
The life out of me.
Right, exactly. So you created Let's Get Organized, LLC. Tell us about that. It sounds so incredible, but also sounds like something a lot of people could use.
Thank you so much. Well, okay, so after, well, I was still an accountant when I started the business, realizing that this is something, and it was actually even suggested to me by a former colleague when I said to her, I'm just not loving this. What do I do next? And she said, you know, I know of an organizer through one of my networking groups, and I think you'd be great at that. And I thought, of course, that's exactly right. Because several years before, when I was at a different career crossroads, I had registered the name of my business. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is just the right thing at the right time. So I resurrected the company, formed a legal entity, and reached out to everyone I knew. Within 12 hours, I had my first, albeit pro bono, client. And yeah. I got started in this wonderful career.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's exciting. So,
thank you.
Talking about working specifically with neurodiverse individuals, maybe you can define that term and then how you work with them.
Absolutely. Well, I got into working with neurodiverse individuals somewhat organically in that as I started to work with clients, I noticed that they had a bit of a similarity. And when we say neurodiverse, it could mean someone who, you know, might have a neurotypical brain. But for the most part, my clients tend to have a non-neurotypical brain, meaning that they might have a brain-based challenge that affects their executive function, which includes the ability to organize. So they may have, say, attention deficit disorder, autism, a traumatic brain injury, depression, anxiety, or any other cognitive or potentially physical challenge that might affect their ability to organize.
So how do you work with them in the beginning? How does one sort of identify that this is what they're dealing with?
That's a great question. So according to the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, which is my credentialing body and where I've received much of my organizing education, chronic disorganization or someone living with chronic disorganization is characterized by, first of all, disorganization negatively impacts someone's life on a daily basis. They have been disorganized most of their lives, whether as a child or most of their adult lives. They anticipate continuing to be disorganized in the future without some kind of outside intervention, and they have tried every possible self-help technique available, and still this chronic disorganization continues.
Now, the book that you wrote, what inspired you to write that book? Tell us about the book, and congratulations on it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited about it, actually. Okay, so what inspired me to write this book? Essentially, there are people who have called professional organizers, and they're either not ready to let someone into their space because there's shame and there's embarrassment around the inability to organize. And with people who live with chronic disorganization, the clutter can be, occasionally it can be fairly intense. So it really chips away at the self-esteem and self-respect of certain clients. So that's one. And other people may just not have the budget to have a professional organizer either come into their space or work with them virtually, which is also an option. So one of my biggest intentions around this book was to provide a roadmap or a manual for people who aren't ready to engage a professional organizer to be able to do some of it on their own, work through the steps, hopefully increase their self-esteem and self-respect, and really begin to value themselves as a whole and amazing individual, even though they feel that one of their shortcomings is an inability to organize.
That's interesting. How did you come up with the title?
It literally sort of
popped out.
Came to me in a flash of lightning. It did. I thought, Oh my, I was originally going to call it something else. I was going to call it the seven C's or navigating the seven C's. And then I thought, oh, come on, Gail. Organized begins with O. And if I really want to get people's attention, I'm going to say, get the big O, get organized. It was kind of fun.
I like that. That's
Thank
a good
you.
Idea. Seven steps to achieving calm, clarity, and control in your space, mind, and life. It's all tied together, isn't it?
It is. It is. The manifestation of someone's inner life can be what the outer life looks like and vice versa. So I call it a biconditional arrow.
How is it different from other organizing books that are out there?
I wanted this to be different because it's in my voice. And I am speaking directly to the reader in as loving and accepting a way as I possibly could. I want the reader to feel seen, heard, understood, and appreciated, as well as I wanted to give them a physical process that they could go through in order to organize. I want to stress to the client that they can organize according to their core values, which is a little bit different from other organizing books, that if they identify and organize with their core values in mind, they have a much better chance of creating systems that stick because they would be natural for that person's brain and processing modalities.
I like that. That's a good way to look at it.
Thank you.
What are some of the strategies you use to help your clients? And how do you begin in the beginning?
Well,
is there like an assessment you do or something?
Yes. Well, actually, even in the seven steps, the first step is consult. So it's a lot of active listening to what the client says as well as what they don't say. There's a bit of coaching involved there because we listen for as well as listen to what the client says and doesn't say. And as far as a really effective strategy, one of my favorites is called body doubling, which is it's not the easiest of techniques, but it is one of the most fun and definitely one of the most appreciated by clients. A body double holds the space for the client. It's part of social organizing in that sometimes just being there with someone, whether on site or virtually, helps the client to feel comfortable, feel seen, heard, and understood, feel appreciated. And it helps them do what they know they need to do, even though I might be doing it alongside them. It's just, you know, sometimes having another person there with you is all somebody needs to get the work done.
Right, exactly. Tell us about maybe an example of the work in action. You don't have to mention names of people, but maybe some success stories and how maybe some folks that you've worked with were dealing with certain things and how through this process you've helped them manage and grow and heal from it all.
There are two people who immediately come to mind. One, well, let's call her Michelle, and she appears in my book as well. She had multiple brain-based challenges. I worked with her for about 6 years. I was a birthday gift to herself. And we worked together very frequently, sometimes once a week. And body doubling for her was one of the most successful strategies. she loved to be able to explain, okay, so this is what I want to do. And at the end of the session, I want to be able to get this done. And I would sit there and I would take notes and I would capture it all. And then we would go and we would work on whatever it is she needed to have done. So if it was organizing her bedroom, great. We would do that. If it was planning out a project that she had because she had gone back to school for a master's or another bachelor's, so whether we had to map out how was she going to do the project, when was she going to accomplish each milestone, when did we schedule the milestones, how could I best support her in moving to another apartment. So whatever it was, the body doubling came into play, as well as my being, I may not be neurotypical, but I think in a linear way, and she might think in a more circular fashion. So when we melded our two abilities together, even though she might go off on tangents, and I could bring her back for a bit, ultimately, at the end of a session, she got everything done that she wanted to do, and it might be going from step A to step F to step B to D to whatever worked, just being there and keeping her on task and reminding her of the goal definitely was a help.
That's fantastic. You know, the examples really put the work in action, and people can then relate to what it is you're sharing and talking about. Why is it critical for our mental and physical health to be organized?
Oh, gosh, there are so many reasons. And one of the biggest is many people feel a ton of stress when they are in a cluttered environment or they feel that their lives are out of control. And stress is one of the worst things for the body. There's cortisol that's being released throughout the body, which raises heart levels, and there's sleep disturbances, which in itself is just a killer for the physical being. We can't think straight. We can't focus when we're sleep deprived. It's a physical danger to be surrounded by so much stuff. Sometimes there are even just like toxic aromas, toxic odors, as well as major tripping hazards, and things can fall on people if they're piled up too high. So, you know, between the stress and the physical challenges, organizing is an act of self-care.
Yeah, it is, right? How have you applied all these things to your own life?
That's a great question. I tend to be somewhat of a minimalist myself.
Yeah.
I definitely feel stressed when I'm in a cluttered environment, if it's my own. I will tell you, even this morning, I had to clear out my workspace because I haven't been in the office for the last few days, and it just accumulated. So before I could even sit down at my computer, I had to clear off my desk, give myself white space so that I can focus, bring in blessings. My mantra is make space for blessings. Even
yeah.
Just emptying the garbage pail made me feel better. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Right.
It does, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you wash and wax your car and vacuum it out, and those things like that can really sort of trigger this feeling of accomplishment, even if they're minor items.
Yes, you're right. And even a little bit can have a very big impact.
Absolutely. What are some other things that you're excited about, that you're working on, that tie into what you're doing? We have a lot of time left, so feel free.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you. Okay, so in addition to the book, which is going to be a print version coming out very soon, there is an audio version. The ebook version is already out, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but they're available on Amazon.
Yeah, sure.
There's going to be a course is being developed from the book so that people can have even more of a self-help DIY opportunity. I'll be speaking. I'm always looking for speaking engagements to be out there, you know, spreading the gospel, so to speak, about how to help people who are living with chronic disorganization. And I would like to bring organizing services as an employee benefit to companies.
That's, I like that. That's, so that's on the radar for you as far as things you'd like to do going forward.
Yes.
That's terrific.
Yes.
That's great.
Thank you.
So let's talk about, you know, we're talking about disorganization and things of that nature, but what are some of the things in our life that cause that to become, you know, leaving, I don't know, the toothpaste open on your bureau in your bathroom and not putting the cap on and putting it away, to then be getting into a situation where, like we've seen on TV shows, hoarding and people just completely overwhelmed by their items that they're so attached to. Tell us about that.
Sure. In many cases, there could have been some trauma in someone's life. And if, you know, just even living as a human, we do experience traumatic events, and they might not be huge traumatic events, but when we go through something, like, for instance, you know, it could be a negative event or a positive event, like the birth of a child, you know, all these life transitions really throw our organizing systems out of whack. So there is a difference, of course, between situational disorganization and chronic disorganization. You know, having a baby is situational. There's a change. It's new. Sometimes a baby comes early and you're not expecting it, you know, so soon. And then you get used to a new normal. So that would be situational. When there's a traumatic event, that can really affect someone's life permanently, especially someone at a young age. Some people who wind up as people who hoard may have experienced abuse, neglect, poverty, oppression. They might have come from another country and, you know, we don't know what that experience was like. They could have experienced a fire or lost a parent or family member very early on. And the search for connection or comfort or protection can be lifelong. So that may manifest in what some might say are collections, but it actually is a hoarding behavior.
Right, exactly. And when, and it can get to a point of complete overwhelm, right?
Yes, it can. And I have worked with some people over the years who literally cannot move throughout their homes because of the amount of stuff they have collected, so to speak, hoarded.
Yeah.
And in most cases, it was a result of a very traumatic event or a series of traumatic events.
And they're hanging on to these items because they're attaching value to them and they're providing a sense of comfort, kind of like food does, things of that nature.
Absolutely. It can be an addictive behavior. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's exciting is that, you know, this is a topic that I think people are really understanding, and people are, you know, they're looking around their house. I mean, probably during the pandemic, it was a little bit of extra collection that was happening as people were in their houses. And now it's time to sort of do that spring cleaning and fall cleaning. What would you say to somebody who is a perfectionist? Meaning,
oh gosh,
say for example, they know that that closet needs to be completely reorganized. Everything is a mess in there. It's upside down. You might even just be shoving things in there, and they just won't get to it because they know that if they do, because they're a perfectionist, it's going to take them 2 days. They're going to tear the entire thing apart, They're going to re-color coordinate everything. Everything has to be exact. So tackling it, that's like a procrastinating perfectionist, I guess. As opposed to tackling it and not having to have it perfect, they don't tackle it at all, or they keep saying, when I have time, when I'm able to, I'll get to it. What about that kind of person?
Oh, gosh, you're absolutely right. Some of my most challenging clients have had OCD.
Yeah.
And that's exactly right, the perfectionism.
Is perfectionism
I believe there's a,
like part of OCD?
Yes, it can be.
Sort of.
Yes. Many people with OCD feel that if they can't do it perfectly or they can't do it beginning to end, they might as well not
do it at all. Yeah.
Right.
Or I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. Right.
Yeah.
And that could be a difficult thing, exactly. This has been a great conversation, Gail. You're really extraordinary at what you do. And I encourage folks go to the website. And what is the best website for them to go to connect with you?
It's lgorganized.com.
I said earlier in the introduction that you are grateful, Gail. You and I were teasing each other about that prior. I think it's a great title. You really are grateful for the blessings in life, your clients as well. And that's important to you, right?
Immensely. I have the privilege of working with some of the most wonderful people on the face of the earth.
What would you say to somebody who's listening right now who is on the fence? They know they need to put the step forward. They know they need to do this, but they're a little hesitant or resistant. What could be something that you could share that might comfort them to say, okay, I'll pick up the phone, or I'll go to the website, or I'll make that move, which in the long run will be better for my mind, body, and spirit?
Oh, yes. Well, okay, depending on the readiness of the person on the fence, if someone is ready to pick up that phone, then I would say, take that first step. Put the toe in the water. Make the phone call. Give it a try. Because if you speak with me and my colleagues who are also trained in chronic disorganization, you will find there will be no judgment. We've seen it all. We've done it all. We understand that there's a person behind the clutter, if there is clutter. There will be understanding. There will be compassion. There will be a lot of love. I can definitely say that.
Yeah.
It's a soft and safe landing.
That's fantastic. Great speaking with you, Gail. Thanks so much for stopping by the show. We really appreciate all the time and all this wit and wisdom that you've shared with us. And hope we get a chance to chat some more, expand some more, hear more success stories. That would be a pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you.
I certainly have. I so appreciate being able to speak with you today.
You be well and keep up the extraordinary work. Knowing you, you're probably going to go fold laundry now. Gail, thanks again. Really a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I'm your host, Jim Masters, and we invite you to stay right there. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest right here on Close Up Radio Live for all of us. Have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.